Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome. Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanek.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Hey.
What up?
Happy
bro.
Friday.
What up, bro? Happy Friday
you, like,
to you.
Tuesday.
Yeah, it feels like a Tuesday.
Yeah, no, Friday, man.
What a great feeling. It's when, yeah, it's like my second day of work this week.
But then you're done.
And now it's over.
It's a magical feeling.
By the way, I'm out Monday. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be here.
It's like when you wake up and you realize you have like an hour, like you wake up an hour before you need to wake up. It's amazing. You're like, oh my God, I got to get up. No, I don't. You roll back over.
Oh.
Love that feeling.
See, I like getting up an hour early so that I can get up.
Oh.
And have coffee.
No.
Like I love that time in the morning where just nothing going on. And...
Yeah, but if you wake up and you're like, and you think that you have to get up and then you realize you don't, that you can choose to get up, you can choose to mill around, you can choose to roll back. That is much better than waking up or having the alarm go off at the time, the designated time that you're supposed to be up.
I agree.
It's like you just stole an extra hour.
Yeah.
Like of
There's
your
nothing like hitting snooze.
Oh, it's an amazing feeling.
Although snooze, well, okay, now I'm going to sound dumb, but what's new?
Yeah, let's go.
Snooze, can you set the snooze to be longer than 10 minutes?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
I'm assuming that everyone's using their phone now. Does anyone actually have an alarm clock?
Well, I mean, the olds.
Even though, I mean, we're olds. Do you have an alarm clock? Anybody?
No.
I used to about 6 months ago, just so I had something at the side of my bed that I didn't have to pick up to see the time, like my phone, but I don't anymore.
No, I mean, who has
your phone?
Who has an alarm clock?
Do you have any other clocks in the house that aren't on an appliance or an iPhone?
I have a big decorative clock that doesn't work.
Oh, you have giant...
I have a giant like wall clock that's a big metal wall clock.
Like mom clock.
Yeah, but it's like modern. It's more an art thing, and the battery on it died like a year or two ago, and I haven't touched it. It's just...
Well, did you really put it up to tell time, or did you put it up because you thought it was cool?
I thought it looked cool and it filled the space.
So you don't need it to work.
No, so it just sits there. So the only clock in my house outside of on an appliance doesn't work.
God, can you remember the days before iPhones? When we had to have clocks and watches and alarm clocks.
Get this too. Not only am I clockless, I'm now keyless.
Yeah.
I don't own a single key. We put a thumbprint one on the front door.
Yeah, you did.
And that was my last key.
I'm going to hack the S out of that.
Good luck. I'm not giving you the code.
Well, it's a thumbprint thing.
How are you going to do that? You going to steal my thumb?
Maybe.
Yeah. That's like a Mission Impossible thing. Yeah, and now, because, you know, I've long stated that I am not a door locker, and that drives everyone crazy.
Yeah.
It locks itself.
Right. It's foolproof.
Foolproof. Every, like, you shut it, and like 15 seconds later, it locks. So, yeah, I do not have a single...
You don't have backup keys?
No. No, I don't have a single key.
I don't think I have many keys either.
I have a fob for my car.
Yeah.
Is that a key?
I don't think so. I don't think that counts.
Yeah, there's no key.
But there is a key in it, right? Like the thing.
Yeah, I think there's one that you can you can hide
pull
in
it.
You pull it out of there. If something were to go wrong, yeah, that's the emergency thing. But yeah, I don't have a single key.
Here's a guy who says he's got an alarm clock because he hates the phone in the bedroom.
Oh, you one of those type that leave your phone downstairs?
Well, not me, but he.
No,
him.
But that part, yeah, I do know those people. It's the same people that don't want TV in their room. They think it's like.
Well, that's what they say. Yeah. You know, you're supposed to turn all that stuff off about an hour before you go to bed.
Yeah, it's right out.
Pitch black in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Nighttime's fun for scrolling and whatnot, some late night shopping.
Everybody complains, oh, I don't get any sleep. Well, it might be because you have your TV on, your phone on.
Well, it is weird if you're laying down trying to shut down your brain and you have something that has every piece of information the world has ever known or sitting right beside you. You know,
it's not a good combo.
Oh God. How many times the amount of times I've fallen down a YouTube rabbit hole, I want to say like a week ago, I ended up watching Van Halen videos for like an hour and a half.
Well, in addition to making kind of the wheels turn, because you're looking stuff up, there are all these studies out there about like seeing like the blue light right before like bed.
Right.
That your brain's not actually going to be able to shut down until about 20 minutes after you've stopped looking at the screen.
That's what the drugs are for. Like last night I bought bike pedals. 12:45. I don't know why I was shopping for bike pedals.
That's weird.
At 12:30 in the morning, but I was.
Do you know how long I had been asleep?
At 12:40?
Yeah.
Yes. I'll go 2 hours.
4 hours.
4 hours.
I fell asleep at 8:45 last night.
Well, guess who's missing out on a sweet pair of orange bike pedals?
I think I'll be fine, although it is National Bicycle Day.
Is it really?
So,
hey.
Shout out to all you bikes out there.
Let's go. Pedal. I'm excited about my new pedals, though. I make a lot of impulse purchases around the witching hour. Between 12 and 12:30 is prime. What the hell? I'll buy that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, between you and my wife, Amazon's doing just fine.
Oh, it's not me. My
wife gets a package a day.
The BTJ is the same.
And sometimes more.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what it could possibly be.
I used to open and look, and then at some point...
Oh, you open her packages?
Well, yeah, because they have my name on them. Because the Amazon account is my name. So they just show up, and I just got to the point where I'm like, I don't want to know. I pull the summer school. I don't want to know what this is, do I? And she's like, no, probably not. And so I don't even pick them up anymore. I go to the front because she works. She leaves in the morning. So I literally just open the front door and I take my foot and I just yeet it into the front door. And then I'm like, that's someone else's problem.
Yeah, I would never dare open her stuff.
No?
No, that's not for me to open. But I do always wonder, what now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And oftentimes, this is why I stopped opening, because I would question the purchase. And in no uncertain terms, I was told to shut up.
That's right.
And
that's the appropriate response.
Yeah, don't
it's
worry
none
about
of your business.
It's none of my business.
Shut up.
Because, you know, and then after a while, I was like, well, if it's none of my business, then just don't open the packages. So unless I ordered something that I know is coming, like, you know, tomorrow I will open up if something comes because I believe that's mine. And this does happen sometimes where I think the package coming tomorrow will be my bike pedals. There's a good chance there's three other packages coming as well, and I'll open
one.
You
have to pick one.
Yeah, and then I'll get this. Why did you open? Because I thought it was mine. And then she'll call me a dumbass and, you know, we'll move on with our day.
Well, it sounds like a great working relationship.
I'd like to think so, yeah. It works.
Like things are going great. You're like the Porters.
Yes, yes.
Michael Porter.
Things are going great.
His brother just got kicked out of the NBA. And now comes word that his other brother just got locked up for 6 years.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
It's a bit rough over there.
What
at the
is
house.
Going on at the Porter household?
You think everyone's having to ask him for some loans? I guess, well, when you're in prison, maybe that's a smaller loan.
So I forget this kid's name. I think it's like
cigarettes. Well, I remember when they were coming out of school, there was the whole
Coben.
Thing.
Coben, yeah.
Yeah, that the you had to take the other two Porter brothers to get the good Porter. Well, you had to take the dad and the two brothers to get Michael Porter.
Isn't there more than two brothers, though?
I mean, three? I think there was a sister, maybe, as well.
There's two.
I thought there was just the three brothers.
I feel like there are nine Porter kids.
It's possible.
But can you look that up?
Yeah, I'll look it up. Oh, yeah, there's...
maybe seven. There's four boys and three girls, maybe.
So there's Michael Porter, and then there's four brothers. There's Jonte, who's...
He
booted.
Just got kicked out of the NBA.
There's Coben, who's going to prison.
Yeah,
and then
he killed someone in a drunk driving accident.
Yeah, and then there's Javon.
Who's that? What's he done?
It does say American basketball player. I think he's playing at, he either played or is playing at Pepperdine. All right. And then Isaac.
Isachi?
No. It's Isaac. I-Z-A-A-K. Isaac?
That's probably Isaac.
Are they just going with Isaac with a fun way to spell it?
Yeah. So there's five?
And I think he might be in high school still. Yeah, man. He's still in school.
How many girls? I think there's three girls.
Now I got to look up. You're asking me to do a whole lot of Googling.
If there's not three girls, I think there's twin girls. So anyway.
And is the flunky dad still up? Oh, yeah, there's three girls.
There are three.
There's three.
A pair of them are twins, maybe.
Is the dad still have a job?
Dude, I don't know, man. But
he got
job
at, like, what, Missouri because Michael went there.
Yeah, he did go to Missouri, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, there's your explanation right there.
Problem solved.
They were fine until they got to Missouri.
Yeah, he's got the sisters all play, too. It's a big basketball family.
No way.
Yeah. So there's Bree Porter and, I don't know, there's a lot of Porters.
All right. Well, anyway.
Two of them aren't doing so well.
Hey, nice to have you along.
Bree's kind of a hot.
It's Friday, I think?
It is Friday.
Today, we have Joey Harrington returning to our broadcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys talked about last week.
I think we talked about you.
Why?
Well, you were gone at the Masters.
Oh.
So we talked about you a little bit, and then I asked him about winning quarterbacks.
Well, he is, he's got some shoes that he's bringing to the table today.
He's got shoesies.
Yeah, he's raffling off shoes.
Is it the first ever Asace shoe launch?
Exclusive shoes. No, these are Nikes.
Oh, you're not getting into the shoe game just yet?
Not yet. I'm still working on our...
Well, one of them that is, we're auctioning these off for, he is, for the Harrington...
He's raffling them.
Yes, yeah. Raffling for the
There's
Harrington
a difference.
Yeah, auction is highest bidder. This is just a raffle ticket. So he's off or raffling off two pairs. And I'll have you know, one of them is like exclusive, just made by Tinker Hatfield for this. But the other one is an off-white sneaker, which is a collaboration with a French designer.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Isachi. So, well, I'm not French. But.
Well, I'm just saying, if Nike and Jordan and the Harrington Foundation can do with one designer.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Where's the Isachi Harrington family Jordans?
Look, once I rebranded myself to Isachi, simply because my name was misspelled on the YouTube stream, Issace. Once that happened, Jason, you would not believe my email inbox. I'm still getting back to everyone.
Just the...
All the opportunities and all the different... So perhaps they've already emailed me. I don't know. I'll get back to him.
Well,
and then we can negotiate.
Well, all you have to do, like with the off-white, is you change like two things on an existing Nike Jordan sneaker, and then you sell it for a bunch of money.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And then you put like a weird little orange plastic tag on it, and then everyone loses their S over it.
Okay, well, Joey will be on at 5:30. We'll talk to him about that, how you can get your hands on those sexy sneaks, mm-hmm. and then we're going to talk a little Augusta National Golf Club. In the meantime, we sports hard. Jim Harbaugh is living in an RV. I don't know if you know that.
Well, of course he is.
And it's great. He.
I'm guessing it's a nice RV.
It's actually not
that
nice. Hmm. Greg Roman, his offensive coordinator, way nicer RV.
Dude,
like, Did you see the Roman?
Well, I saw you send me that, and I thought that Greg Roman, looking at him, I thought he was like another Joe in the RV park. I did not realize he was a coach until he introduced him as Greg Roman. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
so but Greg Roman was the OC of
your
Niner.
I'm just saying, he looks like, I don't know. He looks like.
Are you saying he got fat? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying he's aged a little bit, and he looks like an RV dad bro and not a football,
for sure.
You know?
I just assumed if you're talking about a Jim Harbaugh RV or a Greg Roman RV for that, I was thinking like one of these motor coaches, some of those things are ridiculous. But you're saying his is not.
Harbaugh's is not. He's had it for a long time.
It's sufficient.
It's fine.
In very Harbaugh fashion, it's a khakis of RV.
He makes like $16 million a year.
But he does.
He still does sensible things.
Yeah, he's very sensible.
Boy, that's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
You would think if you make $16 million a year and you're going to live in an RV.
Well, he said.
You think it'd be a kick-ass motor coach.
We'll play the audio, but he said. Because the Chargers put that on their Twitter account.
Yeah.
Harbaugh said at his press conference when he was introduced as the Chargers coach, he said, I want to drive my RV to California. Mm-hmm. And his wife didn't want him to do that, so he was asking her in the press conference. It was this funny moment where she's like, oh my God, don't do that. Well, he did do that. And I think he's packed it up now because the family got there and they're moving into their house.
Okay.
But while he was waiting for his family, he was living, Jim Harbaugh is living out of his RV in Huntington Beach. Yeah. And Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, waiting for his family as well, mm-hmm. drove his down as well. And it is 15 times more badass than Jim's.
Yeah, because I saw the photo of them two sitting out in front of the RV park, which is... It's a hell of a time when you walk out of an RV park and you're like,
and there's
hey,
Harbaugh.
Is that Jim
Although,
Harbaugh?
There was a lady next to them that, and they show this on the bit that the Chargers do on it. She's like, hey, hi guys. I see the Chargers flag. Are you with the Chargers? And Jim's like, yeah, I coach out there.
She asks, are you players? And he goes, well, I coach with the team.
Yeah. Players. And she's like, okay, thanks. Bye. I mean, oh my God.
Well, I read McConaughey's book. Which Thank is a you. Good Bye. Book, by the way. I highly recommend it. It's called Green Lights. And he spent like a year. He was kind of needed to get off the grid. He spent a year driving around in his Airstream and just parked it in different car parks and whatnot. And he's got a lot of interesting stories about, you know, being Matthew McConaughey and just roaming around these places and people being like, is that Matthew McConaughey? He's like, yeah, just staying at different RV parks.
So we got a lot of hot sports talk for you. We're going to start with our poll question. It is coming up next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, coming up, we're going to get into some NFL draft stuff. I have finally put together my mock draft.
I've been waiting.
All seven rounds on that bad boy?
Yeah, all seven rounds. Okay. This is version 89.2.
Well, I do see right now on the screen, 6 days away, we got a countdown.
We have to count down because it's not big unless there's a countdown clock.
Got to have a countdown.
So we're going to get into a little bit of that coming up. Also, who should make more money, Ryan Buckley or Caitlin Clark? Mm. So we're going to... It's a very important question.
I do love that everyone's, you know... dragging that. Meanwhile, she signed an 8-figure deal with Nike.
20 mil.
She's doing fine.
if I could get in that neighborhood, that'd be nice.
It's pretty ridiculous. I mean, $76,000, man.
You realize that league has
never
made
it. Yes, I know.
Penny.
That is super low.
Well, it's not.
It is.
Okay. Girl, you something else.
I have this. People get so mad at me because I talked about this while you were gone. And of course, I'm a sexist pig.
Yeah, well, we know that.
Even though I support women's sports and go to them all the time.
What?
But what sort of insanity is it? Just follow me on this. When your company makes no money, zero, every year, for 20 plus years, no dollars, they're in the negative, every year. And the only reason they exist is because another company gives them money. And then you go and you say, well, we understand that we lose money, but you know what? We feel like everyone should make more money. Like, that's insanity. I understand it's low, but no other company on earth, except for maybe something run by the federal government, would ever do that. Like, someone was like, well, I understand they don't make any money, but everyone should have a minimum salary of $150,000. So you want a company bleeding money to then double everyone's salary? Like, go to any company losing money for, oh, I don't know, 1 year, let alone 20, and be like, hey, I got a grand idea. Even though we're still losing money, we're losing less money. We would like everyone to get 100% pay raise.
Well, look, last I checked, Lyft wasn't profitable, and yet that guy's probably raking in billions or millions.
I'll tell you what, no one's raking in billions on the WNBA. It's getting better.
No, but look, her at 76, like she is the best thing to come along for that league in a long time. And $76,000 is just, look, it's like...
Well, I mean, good thing she gets $20 million from Nike.
Yeah. That is a good thing. Because that... Now, see, that's more commiserate to what she brings to the table right there. Well, it is. I mean, yeah. Dude, she's like...
Although,
she's a sensation.
To Sue's point, if she or they brought more to the table, there'd be more to pay her with. They're not bringing that to
well,
the table.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of... I mean, that's a whole topic. But there's a lot of stuff that goes into that.
Yes.
I'm not saying the WNBA is amazing, but
and we can agree a superstar like her should make more money. But if there's no,
well, yeah.
If that money doesn't exist for them to pay her with, then
no, I get it. I feel like there should be more NBA WNBA synergy, like with brands and teams and such. Like I know the NBA owns half of the WNBA, not all. Yeah. They own 50% of it, and I've always. It's always kind of weird to me where they've really backed that league, the WNBA. They being the NBA has always backed the WNBA.
Yes.
I find it odd that they don't prop it up more. Like, they just kind of let it hang out there. You know, it's like if you had a little bit more synergy with your teams and brands. Like one of the reasons Caitlin Clark was so popular is because in college ball, you know, our connection to the college brands and teams is so... strong that helps prop up college basketball as a sport.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
If we didn't have that, Caitlin Clark isn't nearly as big because, you know, South Carolina is a big deal to all their fans. Like every college basketball team is a big deal to their specific fans.
Mm-hmm.
WNBA, I mean, they just don't have that kind of brand pull, right?
Yeah.
So I don't understand why the NBA doesn't sort of have, like I said, more synergy, I think is the right word, with the brands of the WNBA. In other words, connect them. Like, so, because the NBA brands are very popular.
Well, there's been no need or desire to ever do it until recently when there actually is some traction. And I'm hoping.
Well, but, well, no, they could have done it before.
But why would
they? Because they own half of it.
Like, and it bleeds money.
Well, I know, but if they want to make more money, you have to invest in it, right? It's like, it's just like anything else. Like, it's not to say that it's going to be like this grandiose, profitable league. Far from it. I mean, although it could be. It's just that it sort of seems like they want it. And they want to, and they own half of it, but they also don't really do anything with it. They just let it do its thing.
Again, I'll be the a-hole here, and sure enough, people, you know,
people
are already chiming in with the "Will you shut up?" and you know, you don't know what you're talking about. I love those. So what you're saying is a company that has lost millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. You now want them to just dump more money. Like, again, this is...
Well, I don't know about dumping money.
It's insanity, the argument behind this.
Well,
it really is.
It's not. It's not...
To just lose more money.
It's not dumping money. Well, you're trying to make money.
By losing more money.
Which is something... Well, you have to invest. I mean,
and
if you want something to grow...
they have for 20 years.
Right, but that's... Well, what I'm saying is they haven't done a very good job of that. And that's not to say that they have to... dump hundreds of millions of dollars into it. Of course not. I mean, I think the NBA makes like $10 billion or something. And the WNBA is like, I just looked it up. You were talking about how they weren't profitable. Their revenue was $60 million. I mean, it's very small.
That's revenue. And that's...
Yes, I get it. But it's just, I'm just saying, if you want more, you have to put in more. And there is... I mean, Caitlin Clark is bringing along some eyeballs.
Yes.
Like, capitalize on that. And yes. I'm not saying you had to dump... everything into it for the last 20 years, but I just feel like there are ways, very easy ways, less costly ways, not that many costly ways, to have synergy with the NBA and sort of help, and so have the brands of the NBA help the WNBA along.
Well, I'll be the a-hole here. The WNBA has existed for 20 years because of the NBA for largely, I believe, two things. One, a tax write-off, and two, it's a PR political will thing. Just is. It's a feel-good story because women in this country and athletics all over the world have been shortchanged for years and years and years. And it was not done because they thought it was going to be a profitable business. Far from it. And so, and that's why it pissed women off all the time, is because it felt like it was a half-assed effort, and probably in some ways it was, but it did get their foot in the door. But all of them have had to go overseas to go play and make money. You can make $1 million a year playing over in Russia, except now the Brittany Griner thing, that kind of went to pot. But now, finally, after 20 years, it does feel like there's some actual traction. And hopefully soon, fingers crossed, but because of the Diana Taurasi's and the Cheryl Swoops's and the Cynthia Cooper's and everyone standing on their shoulders, and now here comes Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and we got Brink, and hopefully the next run of stars with Paige Beckers and Juju, and you know, we've got these names coming, that hopefully that league can actually grow and stand on its own 2 feet and make money, and they can make millions of dollars. But what I won't listen to is BS arguments about how everyone should be paid a bunch of money, somehow commiserate. The argument, and it's such a disingenuous argument that I'm hearing right now from everyone, is when they compare it to men's salaries. Well, the WNBA rookie contract is $72,000 a year, and the NBA contract for the number one pick is going to be $12.5 million. The NBA makes $11 billion a year. Like, we just need to stop with that nonsense, because you're doing, to me, you're doing another disservice. This is like when we say that, well, in order for a woman to really be, you know, Caitlin Clark needs to play against men. No, she doesn't. She doesn't. She is a phenomenal athlete. She is a game changer. And let her exist in her space. And hopefully people will start paying attention to that sport because of Caitlin Clark. And they're going to realize there's more than just Caitlin Clark. There's great athletes there. And as more eyeballs come and the TV deals get bigger and the sponsorship deals get bigger, then the game grows. But I just think we for, again, for societal reasons and because no one wants to sound like an ass, I don't think a lot of people have honest conversations about this. And like Bill Burr does a whole bit on this, where this conversation, and then every talking head on ESPN has to sit there and be like, I don't know why they don't make more money. And his thing is, because you don't sell any tickets. And even, it's not even just the ticket sales. Most of the revenue that's driven, you know, in these sports is by TV deals. And we see it go up. We're finally seeing women's basketball. Look at the NCAA numbers. You can't ignore these anymore. But now comes this is a pivotal time for the WNBA, in my opinion, because the game is growing and we've seen the numbers go up and we've seen the interest go up and the league is expanding. But Caitlin Clark is a force multiplier. We saw what she did with the NCAA tournament. I think she set viewership records on 11 separate networks for women's basketball in the NCAA tournament. She was crushing it. Now it's time to take that and turn it into attendance and viewership for the WNBA. This is an opportunity for them to really, really grow the game. And if they miss out on it and it doesn't stick, unfortunately, I think it's just going to go right back to where it was. So I want to see this grow, but I just wish we could have more honest conversations.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I just think that whole, everything you just said there was not what I was arguing. Like, that's a completely different thing. I mean, it changed everything. Like, all I said was 76,000 seems low for what Caitlin Clark is bringing to the table, and it is. But that's just the way the league CBA is set up.
Yes.
Like if she came into the league and she and only she,
yeah,
with everything that's gone on with her, and she was just able to negotiate her contract, her first contract, outside of the CBA, it would be a lot higher than that.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think $76,000 is shocking to a lot of people. Everything you said, I hear what you're saying. It's just that what she's bringing to the table, she is worth a lot more than that, even in a league that isn't turning a profit.
Yeah.
The other element of it is, and somebody said, I think the word Rop is looking for is marketing. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. I just think that the NBA could help prop up the WNBA better, and it wouldn't cost them an arm and a leg. You can only invest so much into something that isn't bringing you money back. But the idea of making money, you do have to sometimes spend money to make money. I just feel like the WNBA is an afterthought, and it probably would be anyway, but if they had more synergy with the brands, in other words, like something like the teams are a little bit more similar to the NBA.
Some of them brand. Tried, like with the Sparks and the Lakers, they use the purple,
right,
and the yellow.
Things like
and
that. I just think it would. It's just odd to me that the NBA doesn't really do any of that, but maybe they will now if people
trying.
Are paying attention.
They're trying, and a lot of the NBA players are supporting it. You know, Kobe was a big guy with this, and you're seeing more NBA players show up at WNBA playoff games and giving the ladies their props. So I feel like it's a slow burn, but it's I think we're heading in the right direction. I really do. I think women's sports is going to continue to grow as, to your point, the investment in it grows, the marketing in it grows. I think you're seeing, we're just scratching the surface of where it can go. Where the end game is, I don't know, but it's certainly growing.
All right, so coming up next, that was all just a tease.
Yeah.
I was just teasing stuff. And damn it, you jumped down my throat, you sexist pig. Up next, we'll get back to our poll question. I have the Jim Harbaugh RV audio, which I think you'll enjoy, because I find Jim Harbaugh low-key funny.
Locked, cocked, ready to rock.
He's an interesting guy.
And he also listed his top three TV shows.
Oh, see, this I want to hear.
Yeah.
Does Harbaugh watch TV?
Did Judge Judy make the list?
I feel like it's going to be like anti-gross.
He's attended
show.
Judge Judy with his father.
There's two... What?
Yes. He said when he was the Niners coach, he loves Judge Judy. He loves how he swiftly adjudicates in her court, and he just thinks she's the greatest, and they caught wind of it, and they brought Jim Harbaugh in to sit in the gallery and be part of the studio audience for Judge Judy.
Oh my God.
You can find it on YouTube.
Well, I will tell you that two of the shows are great current shows. That it's cool to hear him list those. Yeah, he watches.
Because I would hear, like, I'm thinking like Hill Street Blues.
Well, there's one of the shows is not, right. And it is off. It's off the beaten path.
Sure.
But apparently he's been inspired by it since he was a kid. He is a freaking weirdo. But you're going to hear that as well. So our poll question is next. It's 3:34. Here's Buck.
Happy to be coaching, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I misspoke. I was looking at old numbers. The revenue of the WNBA is closer to $200 million.
Well, that was just last year. They signed a new deal, yeah. So it went from $60 million, and then last year it was $200, and they still lost with that $12 million a year, according to
Adam. Yeah, they don't turn a profit, but no. Their revenue is gone up. It's up 200%. Actually, their revenue is up from $60 million to $200 million, and their viewership is actually up 200%.
Yeah.
From 2019, and they say that the league overall is valued at $1 billion. So it's definitely growing, and mm-hmm. it's something that I think that as it continues to grow, and if Caitlin Clark keeps it, you know, keeps eyeballs on it, you may see more investment from the league.
And what'll happen too is when you sign a TV deal and things go up, collectively bargain salaries that exist in every league.
They only get like 12% of the, I just read that they get 12.3%
of the operating
of the profits go to
salary
players.
So when this is collective,
the highest paid player makes like $230,000.
So when this is collectively bargained next time around, I don't know when their deal is up. Hopefully they'll have some leverage to go to the table and say this is ridiculous. But when you lose money every year for 20 plus years, it's hard to go to the table and demand more. It's a leverage thing. I don't know why this is such a weird thing when it's business. But you do this. I hate when you do this. If it's a point that you
we just hashed it out. I don't disagree. I actually don't disagree with you.
Being
I just
a
think
business guy of all people.
We're saying two different things. And I'm just trying to move on because we just hashed all this out. Well, we are. I mean, I don't know. Here's our poll question today. It is on X at 1080 The Fan, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business, helping families for over 60 years, AAAIAQ.com. Which franchise, championship franchise, or team is most cooked? Astros, Warriors, Patriots, or Kentucky?
Oh.
Yeah. And right now the Patriots are winning that going away, which I disagree with because, I think that I don't know if this coach is any good, Gerard Mayo, mm-hmm. but if they draft the right quarterback and Gerard Mayo is good, look no further than the Houston Texans. Yeah. That stuff can turn around quickly if you get the right coach and quarterback. So I don't...
I would never say a football team yeah. is cooked simply because of that point.
Exactly.
It's meant the league is meant to turn around.
Right. If you and they have a good owner.
Extraordinarily fast.
They have a good owner.
Yeah, you would think.
To me, it's the Warriors, but yes. I don't know. The Astros are 6-14 or something.
Yeah, but half their pitching staff is dead. You know, so.
Well, Verlander pitches tonight.
If some of those guys can come back and can be healthy, although, you know, how old is Verlander now?
40? Right. That's 41.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's a little. But yeah, that's.
He'll probably give up 7.
I would.
41, yeah.
Is he 41?
Yeah.
You're getting up there. I will never say a football team is washed or cooked because it just, the league won't. The one that I would say, and even the Astros, again, I'm not ready to write them off. Again, you need an influx of healthy arms. I'm with you. I think it's Golden State because you want to talk about cooked. They had their opportunity to thread the needle with those young guys. Wiseman, Kuminga, Poole, and none of them really worked out, right? Poole's gone, Wiseman's gone.
Kuminga's the best thing they've got out of it, but he even got moved from a starting role to a bench role this year.
Yeah, he's the definition of meh. And Clay is no longer,
he's not impactful anymore.
In any way. And Draymond is still a guy that on the right team, on a true contender, can be an impactful player, but... I mean, essentially what you have now is you have Steph Curry in the twilight of his career, still playing at a really high level, and then you have a bunch of
if they're serious about winning with him, they have to make a massive, massive shakeup because you can't run it back with most of this.
Well, he's 36. Steph's 36.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like,
so Clay to me is, twilight. I don't know. I think Clay's cooked. I mean, the Warriors are cooked, but I think Clay's cooked.
Well, and we know that the NBA, especially when you're not dreadful, like if you don't have the top three picks, yeah, it's hard. You have to find that guy. I mean, you can wander in the desert for a long time. Look at Golden State before Steph came, right? And even that, you kind of, I'm not going to say you lucked into it, but, you know, there was that decision, like Steph was injured early and it was like him or you know, Ellis, and a lot of things fell into place.
I thought they should have traded Curry.
Right? There were a lot of people that thought that. And, you know, look how long, like the NBA, when you fall down, you can be down for a while. And that was the scary part about like Portland going through this is, you know, rebuilds in the NBA, how long have the Magic been rebuilding? Although they're kind of on the other side of it. But, you know, the Bulls, after the Jordan dynasty, yeah, remember the baby Bulls and all the versions of that? I mean, there's just, rebuilds can be terrifying. Because by the time you realize they don't work, you've wasted 6 or 7 years, then you got to start the process again, and that takes another 4 years. And God, if that one doesn't work out, the next thing you know, you're a decade and a half in.
Bob Myers, the former Warriors GM, he was talking on a podcast the other day. He was talking about how they got Clay in that draft. And I don't know what year it was, but do you remember? So, well, you probably don't remember, but Clay went 11th. Mm-hmm. The Bucks picked 10th. And he said that thanks to the Kings, they were able to get Clay Thompson because the Kings traded up to number 10, Bucks moved back. Do you know who they traded up to take right in front of Klay Thompson, the Kings?
I don't.
Jimmer Fredette.
Jeebus. Really?
Yep. Because Myers thinks that Milwaukee, if Milwaukee had stayed at number 10, they would have taken Klay. He thought they were going to take Klay, so he was worried. But then the Kings jumped in and took Jimmer, and he was like, perfect. And they got Klay Thompson.
And I don't care who, like, and I've heard some people now, I know Danny revels in the misery of the Warriors, and it bothers him that they do that we're smarter than everyone else. There isn't a dynasty in the history of sports that isn't built somewhat on good fortune and some luck. It's just, you know, yes, you have to have smart people and you have to make calculated choices, but that's a great example, right?
But Jimmer.
If someone in Sacramento, of all places, doesn't fall in love with Jimmer Fredette, then maybe we don't we don't have any of this. Or if Golden State decides to go with Ellis, who a lot of people at the time, and I'd love to know deep down, how close was that decision? Because Steph was an undersized guy with bad ankles.
And that was the thing, is everyone thought Steph was made of glass. He couldn't stay healthy. And they're like, we at least know we got this known commodity and score in Ellis. Let's build off of that. It was before Steph Curry was Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. And the Warriors saw it behind closed doors and nobody else did. And they made the right gamble.
Well, wasn't Ellis pretty small?
Yeah, but he wasn't that much smaller than Curry. I mean, he could score.
He was really quick.
I was thinking of the undersized guard problem that Portland has always had. Mm. I mean, these guys are good, but you can't have two undersized guards. And not that
And that's why they needed to punt one of them, and they chose the right one.
And yet the Blazers stuck with him. Not only stuck with two of them, they added another one.
Yeah.
And then another one.
Yeah.
Although Scoot's not really undersized.
He's not big.
Yeah.
He's a smaller guard.
And Curry's just special. But,
yes.
The undersized guard thing.
They did add an undersized guard that doesn't shoot the ball well, so.
Who are you talking about?
Scoot.
Oh, Scoot.
But he's a Westbrook.
How tall is Scoot?
He's 6'2".
Oh, right. I thought he was bigger.
No.
I'm going to that league.
He's not very good.
Well, anyway.
But he's athletic. Again, it's the Westbrook thing.
And Kentucky, with NIL now.
Hey, man, we got the Pope. What are you talking about? Kentucky will always be a player because it matters to them.
Yeah, well, there's that.
If you got Kentucky across your chest and you've got a bunch of boosters that are willing to throw millions at kids,
well, that's the key.
You'll be fine. Think if Bill Self left, Kansas would be in trouble?
I don't.
When's the last time Kansas was bad?
This year.
Seriously.
They were 3 seed in the tournament. When was the last time they were bad?
Yeah, they're not.
Has there been a time?
But you hire the wrong coach, man. It can get ugly. Fast.
And it can turn around fast.
Quick hook and ambitious donors.
Yeah. Which championship franchise or team is most cooked? Astros, Warriors, Patriots, Kentucky. That is up now on X at 1080 The Fan. And Patriots leading 58%. Warriors have 26%. Kentucky 12%. Only 4% are ready to bury the Astros.
Man, I think
I'd like to bury the Astros, but I don't think we can yet.
No. Well, they've been too good for too long. It's hard to accept when a team's kind of... Like, New England and Golden State have been trending. Like, the Astros have been fine.
Yeah, but they're... So, Fromber is on the IL, right? He's done.
I think he's done, yes.
Yeah, I think he's another TJ guy, right?
Hunter Brown can't get anybody out. Verlander is now back, but he's 41.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they have another guy? On the aisle?
I want to say, I got to look at there.
I think
they had four of them.
Yeah, their pitching's a little suspect right now. Maybe Javier's out. Anyway, vote hard. Yesterday's poll question was, which of these words best describes the NBA's play-in tournament? 56% said meh, and then 22% said lame, and 22% said rad. Mm. Let's listen to Jim Harbaugh talk about living in an RV, because that's what he's doing. Next on The Fan.
Locked, cocked, ready to rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, well, as we mentioned, the great Jim Harbaugh, who I really can't get enough of. He's just got that, I don't know, I just... every
Christopher Walken, you can watch him cook chicken.
Locked, cocked, ready to rock.
I think he's really smart, and I actually think he's low-key funny. And I do think a lot of times he just likes to do bits, particularly with the media. And I'm here for it. The way he handled all the crap coming at him at Michigan mm-hmm. was funny to me. and I kind of respect him for being the first guy, first real prominent coach to come out and just totally flip the bird to these stupid-ass NCAA.
Yeah, he thumbed his nose at him.
So he's, you know, I don't know if I'd want to hang with him, but...
I think he's a lot.
He is a lot, but I... He makes me chuckle. And this is no different. This was on the Chargers Twitter account. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh drove his RV to Huntington Beach and parked it, and he has been coaching. He that's where he goes at night and sleeps in his RV. And it's not that nice. Like, it's just...
No,
It's a little dated.
You're right. That Roman's RV is nicer.
Roman's is pimp. Greg Roman, his offensive coordinator.
Yes. Harbaugh's is more just date. I'm guessing that for its time, this was...
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say it was top of the line, but it was a solid RV.
Somebody said it's $142,000 new.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
At the time, yes.
But it just does... It doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't...
I mean, it's not going to blow you away.
It doesn't hold up.
So here... So the Chargers put out an 8-minute thing, and I watched the whole thing, and I can tell you that you don't need to watch it.
No.
It's just... Harbaugh and Roman sitting there quipping at each other.
Yeah.
But here is a little snippet of it, the little teaser they put out. It's about a minute and a half on how it all came about.
Yeah, I am. We all are. Yeah, and I'm coaching for him.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. We're in Huntington Beach at the Waterfront RV Park. This is my Quantum Thor motor coach. Kind of inspired by growing up watching the Rockford Files. Got my DVDs. I've been watching that. Nothing will make you feel more like a dad than when you figure out how to dispose of the waste. Felt like a real dad. Now, Giro, I said this is a Class C here. Greg Roman.
How's it going, everybody?
You want to see Giro's?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, come check it. Check this rig out. It's like what the rock bands go around in right here.
I mean, for one person, this beats any hotel room in America. You know what I mean?
Took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Living the RV life, Giro.
Yes, sir.
I asked my brother-in-law, John Fearborn, to drive this coach out, which he did. I'll tell you, some of the nights it was raining, is there a better night's sleep that you could get?
No.
In an RV when it's raining?
When the rain's hitting the top of it? No way. No.
Put you right to sleep. This has been a help to winning, to working, and...
No question. Winning in football, is there anything like it?
It's cured more ills than penicillin.
There you go.
That is a known scientific fact.
You and I have won some games in California, so it'd be good to keep that tradition going, huh?
So that's just a little teaser. So he loved James Garner in Rockford Files.
Rockford
He
Files.
Loved it. And he goes in, I saw the whole, you know, I watched the long version, and he goes into, like, he just was inspired by James Garner, the character.
Well, the Rockford Files, like, I think it was Jim Rockford was the...
Jim Rockford,
yeah. Like, my parents used to watch that. Like, that was a man's man. Yeah. I can see Harbaugh loving.
He loved that.
And I love that he has the entire series on DVD.
Yeah, along with Joe Dirt.
What?
Yeah, in the longer
Joe
version, he says,
Dirt?
"Here's a Joe Dirt. Got to watch that." Wow. So, what do you think his top three shows are? Because he mentions them.
And you said two are modern.
Yeah, and then one. Well, one is Rockford Files. I mean, that's his favorite show,
his
dude.
Favorite
he
show.
Loves Rockford Files.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I thought he'd be like a Hill Street blues man in the heat of the night. Rockford Files, Starsky and Hutch. So, you're saying the other ones are fairly new.
I have two guesses.
They're not fairly new. They are new.
They are new.
I mean, they're modern.
I'll say, I think Jim likes a power dynamic. I'll say Succession.
Oh, no.
That's interesting.
No, that's wrong.
Okay, how about just Yellowstone?
That's wrong.
Yeah. That seems like hard.
That's good.
I was thinking Yellowstone was right up his alley.
I believe that these shows show that he has a sense of humor.
He's got a sense of humor.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a hint.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. They're both funny.
Both funny shows.
Well, I mean,
is he listening to is he watching like the Big Bang Theory or something?
No, one of them is Ted Lasso.
Okay, okay.
He loves Ted Lasso.
Okay,
and the other one he mentioned is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Get right the hell out of town.
Great.
Jim Harbaugh loves Larry David.
Loves him some Curb.
God, a guest spot with him on Curb would have been great.
Oh my god,
that would have been Harbaugh playing Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Like, I could see Larry going to,
What's with all the khakis?
Because Larry's a big football guy. Like, Larry David
big
loves...
Big Jets fan, right?
Yeah, he's a big Jets guy. He thinks he could be the offensive coordinator for the Jets. Dude, I would... I so wish that those two could have connected.
That show is...
Well, it's over now.
It's over, but it's mostly ad-libbed. You know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, there was the podcast with Jeff Garland and the woman who plays his wife on the show.
Susie Essman.
Yeah, Susie. They sit down, and I can't handle a lot of Jeff Garland.
I can't handle a lot of Susie.
Yeah, see, she's way better in the podcast, and he's way more over the top. Like,
interesting.
Her character, she went over the top on the show, but she's pretty chill in the podcast. Anyway, they're talking about that show and kind of the behind the scenes of it and Larry and everything, and it would be fascinating to get Jim Harbaugh in there because they were talking about how basically Larry gives you a synopsis,
mm-hmm.
and you read the synopsis, and then you just go in and do the scene, and you just play off each other, and you just make stuff up.
Yeah.
Garland even said, is that his name, Garland?
Yeah,
Jeff Garland.
Jeff Garland.
He even said he doesn't even like to read the synopsis. He just goes in. And that's, I mean, that's fascinating that those guys can do that and do it so well. But watching Harbaugh try to do that, because Bruce Springsteen was on the last episode.
Yeah.
And he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you they didn't give him lines.
No. It was just like, Bruce, react to this.
Yeah. And he was great at it.
Well, and I miss the guy that played Super Dave Osborne. And he was Funkhauser. I forget. I forget what his actual name is. He unfortunately passed away now.
Yeah.
But there are so many times where,
Bob Einstein.
Yeah.
He would interact with non-regulars on the show, and you could see Larry hated that he would go so far the other way, and so Larry David was always annoyed on the show, but in real life that he would just go off and tell these random jokes. There's a great scene where he tells Jerry Seinfeld, the real Jerry Seinfeld, this horrid, horrid joke. And Larry David, I saw an interview where he goes, I could not understand where the hell he was going with it. It made no sense in the context of the show. We didn't know what he was doing. It went on for like a minute and a half. And he's like, when it got done, it was so good, we couldn't cut it out.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that show operates.
That formula makes sense to me now because in the final season, I feel like I've seen scenes where Larry David is laughing he's hearing a joke for the first time. Yeah. There's one in maybe even the last episode where he's sitting in a car with Leon and he is cracking up at the ridiculousness Leon is throwing at him. And you start to notice that he's like almost
Laughing. Yeah, he's really laughing. Yeah. Jeff Garland said that there are a lot of times in the show where you can go back and look, and they will cut away from Larry.
Because they can't
because
keep it together.
He's about to
the
laugh.
The SNL type deal.
Yeah, and he said if you watch really close, you can tell when Larry breaks down and starts laughing. That show is fantastic, and Jim Harbaugh is a fan.
Yeah, that's great.
Can you imagine running into Jim Harbaugh at a truck stop or something in his RV?
Imagine running... Oh, and by the way, to the listener's point, and I kind of forgot about this, but the Jim Rockford in the Rockford Files lived in a mobile home.
Well, that's why he said he bought
the RV.
Yeah. So he's out there at Huntington Beach, although they're saying now that his family has moved to town, and so they're moving into their house.
Do you think Harbaugh's bitter? You think at times that, like, when his wife, like, during the season, he doesn't want to deal with her, he just goes back to the RV?
It would be so on brand if he just kept the RV spot and kind of lived there halftime.
And somebody else texted in real quick. They said, watch that RV video and tell me that Jim Harbaugh didn't sit in his driveway with the till and the calculator running that garage sale. He totally ran his own garage sale. I absolutely believe that.
You're not wrong. He's a guy that's just wired different. $16 million a year, and he's driving an old, not super nice RV. You wonder in his mind, he's like, I don't need anything else. He's like, Jim Rockford didn't have one this nice. I wonder what kind of car Harbaugh drives. God, I can't say his name. Jim Harbaugh.
His car is right next to the RV.
What's he rolling?
It's one of those...
truck guy.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking
about.
Rivian.
Yeah.
He has a Rivian.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's what
it is. He's a soy boy electric guy?
If you watch the video, his car is right next to the RV.
I don't know what to make of this.
And you know it's his car because he loads it up with a bunch of stuff. Mm. I think it's a Rivian.
Interesting.
And I rode in one of those when we were in Georgia. It is freaking nice.
Is it?
It's got some chutzpah.
Mm. Well, the electric cars, when I was leasing the electric Mustang, it's like Teslas or anything else. It weighs so little, and there's no, like, you just touch the gas and it goes.
It goes.
Dude, they're crazy. They're like driving little go-karts.
All right. Greg Doyle creepy tweets.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want those? Or did you guys already cover that?
Well,
we didn't, not the tweets. We only did the initial soundbite.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have Greg Doyle creepy tweets.
Can I give you the hard hands?
Popping up.
I like that you're here.
God, that just
creepy.
It's and that's not even the worst one. It's if you do it to me, then we'll get along fine.
And what Paul Skeens is doing. Next hour, 4:06 on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.